Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 287, part 1, Promise 9. Today is Friday, April 12th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled Promise 9. Deals with patches, and it's out of Matthew 9 and 16. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Well, for several weeks now, we've been ministering on the promises. We're on promise 9 now, and I hope to make a total of 12 promise tapes and put them in an album that we can offer to you, the radio audience, as an incentive to probably send some funds in to help in this needs that we have down here. But anyway, last Sunday we ministered on, if anyone is willing to do his will, he shall know. If anyone is willing to do his will, he shall know. John 7 and 17. Willing to do his will. Now, willing to do his will is willing to get into the throes of tribulation, trials, sufferings, those things which are not ministered to much. It's allowing yourself to be convicted by the Holy Ghost. The more and the deeper you go, and the further you swim out into the grace message, the more you have to depend upon that great grace of the Lord. And I think as we swim out into deeper waters here in this Northside Missions Ministries, you will open yourself up to criticisms. You'll open yourselves up to attacks. And oh, there are so many people worried about what people might say. Well, what might they say? Who knows? I've had so much said about being down here. Why are you there? Well, I'm here because God has made me willing in the day of His power. Sometimes I even question myself. That's the flesh, of course. But God has made me willing to do this. There's nothing else I can really do. Well, and even as the disciples asked the Lord, well, where can we go? You're the one that has eternal life. You're the one. We left everything else. Yeah. If anyone is willing to do His will, he shall know. And I believe now, like never before, that people must learn to know God for themselves. Because the deceiver is at work like never before. And how can we know God? By being willing to do His will. In other words, do you dare to believe God? Do you dare to believe God? Do you dare to believe His promises? Now, I know there's a lot of ministries on promises. But if you want to do His will, there is a stipulation to the promise. You see things in a different light when you dare to do His will. How many are willing tonight? Are you on the radio? Are you willing to minister to your friends? To stop arguing doctrine? Are you willing to love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul? Now, after that you're willing, God will make you willing. Are you willing to love the Lord with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your spirit and your strength? Okay, then you will know God. It's just like you said, if the Lord sends you off there to Wisconsin and you are willing to leave your job and God opens those doors up for you, okay, the next step is that God will make you willing. Now, when you get there, of course, you know, there'll be things that you see that you didn't see on the first visit. There'll always be those things. But you have to look at the whole of the thing of what this man is doing. Because this man will be open to criticisms. He'll be open to all kinds of jibes. And you're entering in to a ministry. Are you willing? There will be those that say, well, you know, he works with these teenagers and everything, but I saw one over here the other night, and I hear say over here, and I hear say over there. And all of those things will come against this particular thing that you're entering into. And the devil will give you every excuse to return and say, oh, well, I never knew all this. Well, there'll be more reasons for staying if you're standing on the promises of God than excuses for leaving. And even before you go, and even before you start in this, and I'm just ministering because I think you need this. I think we all need this when we dare to trust in the promises of God, when we dare. When we are willing to dare, that we need to know that there is a price involved. But let me tell you, young man, it is worth it. Because if you don't do it, then you got to live with the situation. I mean, if God does send you, and you feel that pulling of the Holy Spirit, and you don't go, you're the loser. Well, then you'll know God. You'll know God because you'll have to suffer in the sufferings of Christ. And that's suffering with this particular gentleman's ministry. And so tonight, Matthew 9 and 16. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Working with those young people, working with young people here, Wisconsin, New York, California, you can't patch it up. It's not a patch that you put on. And so Christians who try and patch up their Christianity with patches that haven't been through the hot water end up looking more raggedy than before. It isn't a patch job. It's the offering of Jesus Christ, the new garment. That is the difference. It's kind of like trying to patch up a friendship after a terrible betrayal. But notice how completely at home Jesus is with everyday things of life. And here he talks about patching clothes. I like that. Always have liked that. I love it when you can keep it simple. And he transforms everyday things into a beautiful and a very valuable lesson. These people were very, I believe, familiar with patches. Now he has them looking at their clothes, picking at their patches. He is talking about mending old clothes, and now he has their attention. Before you can do anything whilst you're ministering to a person's need, you've got to get their attention. And if you don't have their attention, then you're just sort of patching things. I'm sure that Jesus had watched many times his mother patch James and Jude and Simon's clothes. And I believe this was necessary because new coats were hard to come by. Many people in this generation that we live in would not have the slightest idea about what he was talking about. Because I believe we are in the age of tremendous waste. And especially here in this United States, terrible, horrendous wastings. We are in an age of government dependency. And I believe we then are in an age of tremendous ignorance. We throw away everything. We get tired of clothes, and we can even throw away friends, just like we do clothes. Get tired of wearing that friend, throw them over in a garbage heap. Oh, I believe, yes, that there's knowledge coming, has increased, but there's no wisdom behind it. We know a lot of about a lot of things, but we don't know enough about the Lord. We don't know enough about the coat, the complete covering. No, we're in the age of always searching for more truth, but Jesus isn't in most of it. The gospel message isn't in it. We teach faith, and we teach prosperity, and we teach trust in God. But somewhere along the line, love left it. Somewhere along the line, I said, love has left. And so it's been hard line. It's been no mercy. It's been quote scriptures at people and then walk away and say, use your faith. We might tell them, learn to trust in God, we say. Grow up, we say. We say, get with it. Sure, we prayed for you. It wasn't answered because of you. That kind of conversation. And so we've ended up, folks, with a lot of disillusioned people. And that's why right now people are so thrilled with the contra hearings. Because they're seeing a dedication and they're seeing a loyalty to a leader. I caught a little bit of the Swartz. I caught a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I've been catching a little bit of these different things. Watching these contra hearings, I thought how parallel that is to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is ready right now for a leader. Look up, the Bible says, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, the coming of the Lord is right around the corner. No doubt in my mind at all. No doubt in my mind right now that prophecy is being fulfilled by the second. And it says you'll see all these things. The whole world will see them. We're seeing them right now on TV. Every eye shall see his coming. How? By TV. Even those that pierced him. Whew. Why lock ourselves in to the wondering and the worrying about opinions and so on? It's what God has to say. And so we've ended up with a lot of disillusioned people. We gave them flimsy for the last, I believe, 15 years, flimsy summer clothing, and the winter of time is upon us now. Winter trials are upon us now, I'm saying. The last of this world. Winter tribulations are upon us. Because the no trials ministry has been issued. The no tribulation ministry has been issued. We've pushed people up front with, you are a prophet and you are a teacher and you are a preacher. And you can just ask for anything and it's yours. It's not so, is it? And why do you think that school takes these children along for a whole year? Because you can't just tell somebody, here it is, here's the scripture, now just do it. Goodbye. That's what we've done with people. No, Jesus promised trials, tribulations, sufferings, in the flesh, of course, for a higher calling. And so we didn't give them the winter garments of love that won't wear thin. We gave them flimsy coats. No trial coats, polyesters. No tribulation coats. And all these clothes have gotten holes in them. And winter is here. The end is upon us, and now we're trying patches. Patches ain't going to do it, folks. It's got to be a renewal. It's got to be an unlearning to come to the learning. I'm talking about a total turnaround. Are you hearing this? You on the radio, are you hearing this? A total turn. You might have to scrap your portfolio of notes on all of the seminars that you've been through for the last 15 years. They are, now I don't care if you call it judgment, call it whatever you want to, but it is hogwash. If it doesn't have the gospel of Jesus Christ contained within it, it doesn't mean a thing. Bible says that you can prophesy and you can speak in tongues and you can do all those things, but if you don't have love, you are a gong and a tingling cymbal. Because see, love is long suffering. Long time. It suffers long. How many long sufferers are there? Well, they'll suffer until that they get an owie. And we'll suffer until somebody says something, and then we skedaddle. We go hide our face. Now, I'm talking about long suffering. I'm not talking about giving somebody a word, laying your hands on them, squeezing your head like a zit. I'm talking about long suffering with people. Even though your flesh doesn't want to do it. Of course it does not. Well, when I was a young boy, I learned about patches. I would understand this parable completely. Hand-me-downs. I remember we had patches. You didn't know what the patch was or where the clothes were. The rump was patched and the knees were patched. And well, Pauly patches. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. Now we're trying to patch up the flimsy garments we have clothed people with. So let's go on. How did Jesus come to speak this brief, down-to-earth, homey parable? Bible says, well, certain ones, the disciples of John the Baptist, according to Matthew, had come to him with a question. And I believe it was asked in all sincerity. But you see, I believe also people were perplexed why they inquired. Do the Pharisees and we who are the disciples of John fast while your disciples do not? We know that you are a religious man, in other words. And fasting is a religious practice, we know that. We know it's scriptural, isn't it? And why do you pass over it like it has no worth at all, they asked of Jesus. And so right then and there, Jesus could see by this question that they had completely misunderstood both himself and his mission. And it's the same way today. They thought he was a reformer, one who came to enforce the law, one who came to patch up the religion of the Jews. And that through this mended religion, to mend our threadbare human nature and our torn, perverted world. But Jesus tells them, I am not here to reform, but to transform. I am not going to make you better. I am going to transform you. You must be born again. He said, I am not here to improve men, but to remake them. The making of a man. I remember, this was a play that was on several years ago. They made a movie out of it. What Makes Sammy Run? And I thought, how close that is, how scriptural that is. What makes Sammy run? What makes Debbie run? Well, we say it differently. We say, I wonder what makes her tick. No, I'm not here to improve men, but to remake them. No, you go through so many changes when you're remade. Isn't that funny? We're being remade. We're always thinking about remaking somebody else. But what makes Jimmy run? Because he's been improved? No. He's been remade. She's been remade. No, I'm not going to correct evil, but cast it out and make all things new. And that through him there is to come a new heaven, the Bible says, and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But here we are almost 2,000 years later trying to put unshrunken patches on old natures. Now, people need to be clothed with the new nature. When you buy new clothes, don't you feel funny in them when you first put them on? You know, you feel kind of embarrassed. Somebody says, boy, do you ever look nice. Gosh. Huh? Don't you? You're always going to feel a little bit self-conscious. Let's say you had on, you know, a different type of clothes. Now you got a suit on. Now you got the hat on. You got the tie on. You're in a brand new thing now, and you got to kind of grow, ease into it. Takes a little getting used to. It's the same way when you put on Christ. Boy, when you put on the uniform of the Lord, you never know where He's going to take you. Never. That's why you have to totally live on a promise. Wow. I might be misunderstood. You will be misunderstood. Well, people might not like me. No, you'll be hated in the house of your friends. You know, really, that's exciting because the Word of God is coming true as you just go ahead and do these things. It's not to be mishmash about. Glory. Yet we preach to the world, mend your ways. And we march around their grocery stores and we say, tear up your dirty books. And we march around the liquor and we march around their hospitals and we march around all their things. And we say, mend your ways. That is not the point, friend. Jesus said, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. I will remake them. As they see Jesus only. They don't want to see your signs and your marching and your finger pointing and your judging. They don't want to see the legal beagles. They're looking for a brand new garment. They are so ripe now for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came not to men, but to create a new man with a new nature. And through the new creation, a new and moral social order. Paul says, old things have passed away. Behold, they are become new. But one thing Jesus and the questioners do not differ on, there is a human need. But you see, where they differ is how to meet this need. The world knows they have a need, and the leaders know that we have a need, and Jesus knows we have a need, and the Christians know with Jesus that there is a need, but how to answer it? How to answer the need? That's where we differ. And even in the church itself, the body of Christ as a whole, there is a difference of opinion on how to meet that need. Well, let's look at the things that we do agree on. That our human nature needs to be mended. No, anybody will agree with that. That man has not arrived. I agree on that. That the world, what word would we use? Stinks. That's a good one. They know that people's garments are soiled and rotten and full of holes. We all agree on that. And this was the view of those who came to question Jesus. And, of course, the view of Jesus himself. Jesus, I believed in man like none other person ever did. But he never shut his eyes to man's first need. Born of a separation from God through sin, Jesus says, I come to seek and to save them that are lost. And we all felt this way before we were saved. You ever have that feeling? You'd be sitting by yourself and you wonder, well, where did I really come from? Why am I here? Was that song? Why am I living? Why was I born? Why am I giving? We're all wondering. We knew our condition was full of holes. And we just kept trying to patch up our lives. I remember several years ago, 25 years ago even, after going through a trauma in my life, I started to go to church. And I thought, well, it'd be nice to teach Sunday school. And I was a drunk. And I would go there every Sunday. My head, I could hardly get through the door because my head was so big. They didn't preach Jesus there. They preached reform. And I was searching. I knew I had holes, and I promised myself, oh, I feel so rotten this Sunday. Now next Sunday, I'm going to be better. I'm not going to have this hangover. I'm not going to feel like vomiting when they have graham crackers and milk. Now I knew I was full of holes and my garments were full of holes and I tried to patch them. I knew there was something wrong. And I went there for a couple of years and it didn't work. I went back into the scuzz pits. Whew. Wow. Now, Jeff, I kept on trying to patch up my life. Now, of course, none of you know what I'm talking about here, do you? You're on the radio. Well, of course you do. And get more moral? Have you ever tried to get more moral? Huh? I don't care if it's even in a majority. It won't work. You'll cheat on the majority. And the majority will cheat on you. That's the way it is. And we try to get more moral, but this legal, untested, unshrunk patch would always fall off when we got into hot water. We put this patch on, and this patch, and this patch, these patches, and we put them all on. And then we get into hot water, and then we'd really look bad. We'd look so bad. Now I try another patch, and that wouldn't work. Now I got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Think of Judas. Think of the holes he had in his clothes from betraying his master. Oh, see, if he would have just went and said, I have sinned. Would he have been saved? Of course. Totally forgiven. See, but the thing was, a lot of times, we're sorry in getting caught. We're not sorry for the thing. I'm sorry that the patch didn't work and it shrunk up and everybody said, what's that on there? Your garments look bad. They're looking worse all the time. Looked pretty good the other day when you put patch number 94 on there. And you get in hot water and you really look foolish. Boy, are we coming down to hot water in this old world. We're getting ready for the hot water tank like a chicken before it's plucked. The point being, folks, the world knows that they need something. You don't have to parade around and look how good I am. They know they need something. They're flocking to see Superman 4. They need something. They really need something, don't they? They're looking for some kind of a hero that's got all these wires and gadgets on there. You know what I mean? And they're going for that. Even more and more people are looking at wrestling matches. Looking for some kind of a hero. They don't care if the guy is this far with his knee off the guy's throat when he hits the mat. They want a hero. They want somebody that they can hooray for. No, they are very much aware of their soiled, fleshy garments. They so want something to be right. They so want somebody to stick up and go on through. That's why Oliver North is appreciated. Why Poindexter? That's why all these people are, that's why the president is appreciated. Now, I'm not saying right or wrong or anything. I'm saying he's stuck to the deal. And it's so frustrating to the moral Congress majority. And yet, it's teaching our Congress something. Somewhere God is going to turn this all around. They're going to say, you know something? We're all liars. Let God be true. The Bible says we're all liars and God is true. We're all going to have to say, hey, we're all wrong. But God is true. Do you think God isn't pulling our nation together right now? Well, I don't care. It might look like it's all falling apart. It's ready for a revival. The revival isn't going to come by printing it in the paper. We're going to have revival, and we're going to set up a tent. We're going to pull them into our church. It's going to be revival by the Holy Ghost. It's going to come through individuals that have been struck by the Holy Ghost to stand, having done all, stand, and not be dismayed at people's faces, neither at what they say out of Ezekiel. Even the morally best of that day knew that. Like the rich young ruler. He ran down the road, the Bible says, and knelt down at the feet of Jesus and grabbed a hold of that calloused hand. And he said something to this effect, "I have kept these commandments from my youth." And yet, he asked this question, "What do I lack?" He knew that he had not arrived. And of course, Jesus agrees with him. Jesus, of course, does not kill him with a letter. He simply says, "One thing thou lackest, sell all you have." He didn't say, "You are selfish and rotten and worldly and a wine sipper, and you ran by all of those starving people to get to me, and you asked me, what do I lack?" He didn't say that. He said, "One thing thou lackest, sell all you have." Give up, in other words, your garments of self. Self-righteous robes, and they are but filthy rags. And I believe the sense of lack becomes more intense the nearer we come to God.
There you have it. That was episode 287. That was part one of Promise 9. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.